Poorly Read.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Bonjour.
Good day.
What's hello in German?
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Konnichiwa.
Good day. Guten Tag. Oh, fuck it.
Bonjour now.
Languages here. Yeah, that's a good one.
I just got the three axis powers covered there.
Hola. Have we done hola?
Hola.
Here we are, back again in the wonderful, I don't know, commode that is Poorly Read.
Yeah, if Poorly Read was going to be a type of building. What type of room, type of space? Do you think commode?
What do you mean? A commode is a toilet bowl.
Is it the bowl? I thought it was like an outhouse kind of deal.
No, it's the actual bowl itself is called a commode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let me fact check that, because sometimes I'm really sure and it turns out I'm wrong, but I'm almost
100%. No.
Fuck off.
I won't hear it.
Define commode. Okay, so no, right, we're both right. Your definition is the British one. So it's a term for a chair often on wheels enclosing a chamber pot. And in the United States, it's a colloquial synonym for a flush toilet.
Huh.
So as per usual, I think I'm American. So I have a packet of Skittles that have chemicals in that we can't pronounce. And I also have a gun. And I shoot the Skittles and then eat them.
What do Skittles have to do with being American?
I don't know. They always just have different flavours of things that I wish we had here and then we don't. American Pop-Tarts used to be my favourite fucking thing in the whole world.
A favourite fucking thing?
Yes. I used to put it in the toaster and get a lid opener. Yeah. And just slightly separate the icing from the base of the Pop-Tart. And then I put my pee-pee inside.
And just slide it into the hot goop.
Yeah.
Add your own hot goop.
Yeah, I truly made it my Pop-Tart.
And then throw it in the bin. Done with it.
Yeah. No, then I'd feed it to Granny. American food. Let's eat it.
Sure. I mean, what is English food?
Shit, that's what it is, Tom.
Gravy-covered bollocks.
Yeah, like a traditional roast dinner is my favourite meal, and that's like the only sort of decent British meal I think there truly is.
Yeah.
Although I guess you could say, because like chicken tikka masala was invented in Birmingham, I think, so I guess that is technically a British meal. But obviously it's like an extrapolation of like Indian cuisine.
Yeah. Like meat pies and stuff.
Ugh, I can't think of anything fucking worse. If you ever have a birthday and that's like the finger food you have, I swear to God I'm going to cause such a scene.
No, I'm not talking about the little pork pies. I'm talking about like...
Any kind of pie that's not a dessert, I'm not here for.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
No, I'm just like, I don't want this. I don't want this flavourless, tough fucking pastry with just like goopy, like runny / gravelly shit inside, and then boiled potatoes and fucking runner beans. Fuck off.
Jesus. I didn't mean to fucking wake the dragon with that one. Just a pie, mate.
God, imagine if that was Harry at like his first meal at Hogwarts. Yeah. And Ron's like, fuck, it was just a pie, mate.
Yeah, it does tend to be that kind of traditional, very carb-heavy British food at Hogwarts, doesn't it?
Yeah, I just don't think it's nice. I really don't. Like,
I sort of do, but I want it to be broken. I don't want that to be my entire diet.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd die of a heart attack at 40.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we used to do, right?
I guess so.
I mean, I say all this, but yeah, a roast dinner is the most quintessential British meal and it is my favourite meal because it's just got everything you would want.
Mm.
But it does depend on who makes it.
And who's gravy.
Yeah. my dad makes a fucking banging roast dinner, and he like properly seasons that chicken. It's like, oh yeah.
I just too much innuendo. Okay, it was like overloading my brain, like it all crammed to get out at the last minute and all got stuck in the door, you know.
I walk in the kitchen, I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? It's like, Daddy's got his own gravy. I'm like,
you best believe I seasoned that chicken, boy.
Oh, look at the giblets.
What a word. Giblets.
Oh, God. Alas.
Morissette.
I love how that phrase has undergone, like, now a third, like, incarnation.
Yeah, it's morphed. It's morphed and changed with the times. It stayed current.
Wow.
Chapter 19. Elf Tales.
Elf Tales. Ooh.
Yep. I like that. Simple jingle. So short and sweet.
Yeah. But it's exactly the same melody as DuckTales.
I reckon you could have got away with that.
Ron's in the hospital. Oh, was it you who said, is it Germany that has a cool word for hospital?
Krankenhaus.
That's it. Ron's in the Krankenhaus.
Fred and George are also there.
George.
And they're all discussing about how the potion might have got into the drink that Slughorn had.
Yeah, how did it get into Ron?
Yeah, by what method was it administered?
By which hole, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, one would presume the face hole.
I mean, there's so many face holes.
Yeah.
There's five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he took it in each. He's like, I'm going out in style. I'm going out how Mum would want me to.
You got to distribute it equally among your face holes.
Yeah.
Equal opportunities in this face.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're all kind of connected, right?
Yeah, I see out my ears.
I was going to say, oh, and I taste out my mouth, but you do taste out. Oh, God. Lucky the twins are nearby because they were looking at buying Zonko's joke shop in Hogsmeade.
Yeah, it's like a... although I don't know why. Like, if Zonko's has had to close, then it obviously means there's not a lot of trade happening there at the minute. Otherwise, they'd be open. So it's not a very good investment at the moment. But maybe it means they can get it cheap if they're looking to the future because they can like subsidize it with their booming business in Diagon Alley.
Why is Zonko's closed?
Yeah, I don't know. Because no one's going there, maybe? Why is Fred and George's booming?
Did they say it was actually closed, though? Or just that they were going to buy it? Huh.
Well, no, we've heard that it's closed in a previous chapter. The last time they went to Hogsmeade, yeah.
It might have been just because the owner died or got killed or something, like by the Death Eaters.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, Harry shudders.
Is that your next note?
Yeah.
Mine is Ron mutters Hermione in his sleep and Hagrid arrives.
Hagrid!
Harry's like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, okay, what's I can't make it fit.
Oh, I feel like you were just going to go for it organically and then I interrupted.
No. Okay, hold on. He can't be quiet as a mouse, it's Hagrid. He's sperming up the Krankenhaus, it's Hagrid. Ew, Hagrid, why does it look like tar? He's like, that's what all sperm looks like, isn't it? No. When was the last time you had your prostate checked? What?
It's supposed to be the size of a coconut, isn't it?
To be fair, I never found out what the results were. He put his arm up to give it a feel, and then I breathed in, and he just went, whoop, and I never saw him again.
Still feel him squirming about sometimes.
Yeah. I did sneeze once and I thought I had a miscarriage, but it must have just been him. Alas.
So Harry and Hermione sort of leave the hospital wing with Hagrid, and Hagrid's all like wondering if the school's going to be closed, especially now, you know, Dumbledore's all angry with Snape. And he's like, I shouldn't have told you that.
What's the other Hagrid phrase that we sometimes say?
Sorry about that.
That's it. I was trying to fucking think of that last night and I was like, what the fuck is it? There we go.
And they sort of wheedle it out of Hagrid with their tools.
Yes, they get out their thumb screws.
They're like the car battery with the crocodile clips.
They sit him on a broken wicker chair, butt naked, and dangle swing it a ball down up through into the his bollocks. Yeah, and then Hagrid just sperms everywhere again. And I don't know, just insert like a tarmac joke there, I guess.
Yeah, they build a road.
They build a road, and
Harry gets his steamroller.
Yeah. And then they set up a trade business and ends up being very lucrative.
Ron never gets out of the hospital wing.
He doesn't get out of the hospital wing. Hermione gets some fucking poison in him with a Hitler juice.
Hitler juice. New from Hermione Granger. That's nuts.
Hitler is a coming. Hitler is a coming. He is a massive Nazi. Oh, God. Please don't sue us. Yeah. He's like, yeah, he's been fighting with Snape and blah, blah, blah. And then Harry's like, what the fuck? And then he's like, oh, I should have told you that. And he's like, no, what the fuck is he's been fighting with Snape about? And he's like, well, I didn't really hear him much. But he said something about, what does he say? I wrote it down. Yeah, Snape said that Dumbledore took too much for granted and that he didn't want to do it anymore. And Dumbledore said he said he would, so he needs to see it through to the very end.
Yeah, and they're like, to see what through? He's like, I don't bloody, I fucking know, you little shit.
Yeah, and then Filch crawls out of the drain on the floor and he comes over to tell him off. And Hagrid's like, fuck off, you dirty footing squib.
Yeah. Quote.
Or I'll show you me prostate again.
Filch is like, oh God. I only just escaped from there.
I was trapped in there with that fucking doctor for 25 years.
and Harry, back in the common room, Harry's all getting contemplative and thinking that when Harry told Dumbledore about this conversation between Snape and Malfoy that he overheard, and Dumbledore was just dismissed it and said, it's fine, don't worry about it. Harry's all like, he must have been hiding something from me then. Which, I mean, he was.
He was. Yeah, so Harry's sitting there, and then fucking Cormac jumps up.
Oh, yeah, and he's like, Potter, been meaning to speak to you.
Yeah, and Harry's like, oh, for fuck's sake, what do you want? He's like, well, now that your friend is dead, can I take his place on the Quidditch team? And I was like, sure. I like the cut of your jib. I like how forthright you are. I like how strong your pectorals flex when I'm looking at you. I like the way that jumper hugs you in all the right ways.
Cormac's like, okay. I had some thoughts on strategy.
Here's a strategy for you. I want you to Cormac my McLaggen. But, and here's the cincher. I wanted to involve macaroni cheese. Guy's like, well,
I'll leave you to put those pieces together. I'm interested to see what you come up with.
I haven't got macaroni cheese. I've got McLaggen cheese. I mean, it doesn't taste quite the same, but I produce it in plentiful amounts.
Are we back on smegma again?
Yeah. Smegma. Anyways, Harry's like, yeah, fine, you can take his place on the team for now. But as soon as Ron's okay again,
you gotta fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it turns out Harry's never been less interested in Quidditch.
Yeah. And Gryffindors are only interested in talking about the upcoming Quidditch match against Hufflepuff. Oh, and Lavender all keeps talking, trying to talk to Harry about Ron and his feelings.
Yeah. but Ronald keeps on pretending to be asleep whenever she goes to visit him.
Lol.
Oh, Ronald Weasley, said the yelling email. Yeah, so the next day, Harry's on his way to the Quidditch pitch after having spoken to Ron in... I was trying to say in the Guten Tag. That's not what you fucking said at all. It was the Krankenhaus, wasn't it?
In the hello.
Yeah, and Harry passes Malfoy in the corridor. And he's with two sulky looking girls.
Yeah.
Mysterious. Mysterious girls. I guess you don't want to get close to them.
Malfoy wants to put you on watch, Judy.
Baby girl! Oh my god.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm surprised Malfoy hasn't thought of doing that with Crabbe and Goyle before.
Oh my god, that is so awful, but I feel like they would do it.
Not below Malfoy. I wouldn't have thought.
Well, it is below him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he just saves. Oh, no, I'm not going to say that. That's awful. Anyway.
Just save. Oh, God, I can only imagine. What does he say?
Oh, God, so they get down to the Quidditch pitch and Cormac is trying to, like, give, like, the team, like, strategies for winning the game.
Yeah. He's like, look, guys, of what it all comes down to.
Everything's gonna be quite alright. One hand on my broomstick and the other one and the other one is strangling a house elf. And Harry's like, well, I don't think that's good to do during the game.
Yeah, is that the new euphemism for it, is it? Strangling the house elf.
Yes, I mean, when it doesn't do what I say, I beat it against a wall. You know what I'm saying, Harry? And I was like, no. Are you sure you've got a penis and not a rogue snake?
Well, it does bite me sometimes. Come to think of it.
And it does shed its skin twice a year.
And swallow things that are larger than the size of its head.
What other things do snakes do?
Constrict things.
That's true.
Wraps itself right around my bollocks and I can't get it off for hours.
And it does have a slit for an eye.
Which is what made me think it was my penis, you see. Harry's just like, all right, so, moving on
right,
from that.
Okay, so. And the chorus like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, hasn't been this excited in years.
Anyway, so Harry says, look, Cormac, you ain't shit, so fuck off. And Cormac dies, and then Harry turns to the people that Cormac was talking to and is like, yeah, actually do what he says.
Yeah, but I just needed to flex a little bit because he was getting big for his boots.
Yeah. Is Cormac, because in the film he's like really like handsome and like jockish. Is he that in the books?
Don't know. I don't think there's been much mention of whether he's like handsome or not.
Yeah, because usually she's quite like on it about that, and I don't remember.
No, I just picture him as like a sort of oafish, like posh boy. A bit like Ernie McMillan.
Ernie McMillan!
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. No, I want him to look like he does in the film.
Well, I can't remember what he looks like in the film.
He's handsome, Tom.
Yeah, okay.
He's what Cedric should have been instead of fucking shovel-faced Pattinson. Fuck it. Oh, God. Anyway, what happens? Oh, and fucking the match starts and guess who's commentating?
Oh, yeah, Lou. Like, honestly, I mean, Harry says who thought that was a good idea. And I agree. Who thought that was a good idea?
Maybe just during, like, their private lessons, Luna asked McGonagall if she could do it.
Yeah.
Then McGonagall was like, yeah, whatever you want. Just
just don't stop.
Yeah.
God.
No, can you just hold it in between your lips, thanks?
me see how responsive you are if I slide my hand up your back.
Oh, good. And Luna's like, what are you... Wait, what? Hold on. What are you... What are you doing, Professor? She's like, they all come round in the end. Luna Lovegood. Looney McLovegood. Baron von Luna Lovegood.
So during the match, Harry keeps seeing McLagan trying to give instructions to the rest of the team, and he's like letting goals in and stuff, and Harry's like, mate, stop it.
And then Cormac, like, he berates Ginny for not getting the snitch or something, and then he fucking lets a goal in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why Ginny would need to get the snitch, but...
Isn't she the... Oh, of course, Harry's the chaser, isn't he? Ginny was Seeker. A chaser. What the fuck is a chaser?
With the quaffle.
Oh, yeah.
You really do ignore the Quidditch bits, don't you?
It's like, yeah, they get on a broom and then a fucking, they catch a magic bee and then someone wins and...
They all get on brooms and then sports happens and then it's over. Yeah, it all culminates in Cormac trying to demonstrate to one of the beaters how to hit a bludger with the bat. Mishits it. And the next thing Harry knows, bang, falling from broom.
Yes. Broom.
He wakes up lying next to Ron in the hospital wing. Harry brings up Malfoy and is like, I saw Malfoy before the match.
He was with a miniature version of his mum and Bellatrix. It was really weird because both of them had really smudged lipstick on. And really intense blue eyeshadow.
Yeah, and the eyeliner was kind of running.
It's really weird because they were wearing clothes on that I could only describe as like Moulin Rouge-esque. I don't really know why. But just everything was just sopping wet. Just everything, Ron.
Looked like they'd had a pretty fucking good time, if I'm honest. And Ron's like, oh, you're bloody obsessed, mate. You're thinking about missing a Quidditch match just to go and follow Malfoy. You're a bloody mental, you are, mate.
And Harry's like, yeah, man, just my priorities have changed.
Yeah.
I don't care about catching golden balls anymore.
Yeah, I've done that enough. I've caught enough golden balls, mate.
Yeah, all I want to do is catch a dark wizard and keep him in my mouth. I want to shrink him down and keep him in my back tooth. I don't want him to act as my conscience.
You want a dark wizard to act as your conscience? Yeah. I'm sick of being so fucking honourable.
I want him to say it's okay for me to do bad things.
Because I feel like I know it, but I just need reassurance, you know?
And then Harry has a flash of inspiration.
Yeah, remembering all his previous Quidditch injuries. He's all like, and then, yeah, that time that Dobby came to visit me and he's like, ha, I can have someone follow Malfoy.
Yeah, he's like, give me, I'm your ha.
He's like, hey, yeah.
And Cormac's like, did someone call me? And Harry's like, fuck off, that. Rub your new album. Yeah, and the fucking creature appears. Oh no, he calls for Creature, and that's when Creature appears.
Yeah.
Weird if Creature appeared before he said anything.
Yeah, he sort of wonders how it works. He just sort of goes, Creature? And then crack! Creature appears with another house elf wearing a jumper and lots of hats, and they're all like wrestling.
Yeah, they're mud wrestling.
Yeah, they're getting sloppy.
Yeah, sloppy seconds. They're getting mashed potatoes.
They're getting mashed potatoes and gravy and just... all of the standard foods they cook in the kitchen.
Yeah. Horseradish.
Oh, spicy.
Harry's like, ew. Look at that. Look at that mint sauce.
But where's the lamb?
Like, well... Fucking hell, what else do you have with food? Ketchup, I guess.
What else do you have with food?
Anyway, yeah, Dobby's trying to fit his whole head inside Creature's mouth, and Harry's like, don't do that.
Don't know where, what else he's had in his mouth. He's fucking disgusted, he is.
Yeah.
Should have seen what he sent me for Christmas.
Yeah. I forgot what he did send to him. Like a dead pigeon wrapped in some toilet paper.
I mean, that's nicer than the real thing and the thing we joked about.
Oh, yeah, it was the maggots and smegma, right?
That's it, the maggots and smegma.
Maybe that's what should replace five gold rings. Maggots and smegma.
I guess, like, the sort of meter isn't quite there. The word smegma just doesn't quite fit lyrically, you know?
Yeah.
If it was just maggots and cum, that'd be better.
Okay. Maggots and cum. Molly's gravy. Some mint sauce. Macaroni cheese. And some smegma on... what's a funny tree? I guess it doesn't have to be a tree.
No.
No.
Smegma to wash it all down.
Smegma on a wheelie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every Swiss creature at Christmas dinner. And Sirius is like, I should have just fucking killed you and I had the chance.
All right, well, we've got the bare bones of this year's poorly read Christmas song. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Our Lord and Saviour.
The Dark Lord and the Dark Saviour.
Oh my God. Oh,
fucking hell, I think I'm so hot.
Say.
All right, sorry if you can hear a little hum in the background, guys. I've had to turn a fan on because it's just too bloody hot.
Yeah, so he's tickling her privates right now.
Yeah, social distancing be damned.
It's all right, he's got a washing up glove on.
She loves it when I crack the marigolds out. Oh god. But yeah, I'll try my best to noise cancel whatever hum comes across, but sorry if you can still hear my fan getting all excited. So, Creature and Dobby have arrived in the hospital wing, and Harry's all like, I need you to tail Draco Malfoy. Harry realizes that Creature's going to find loopholes, and he's like, you can't talk to him, you can't tip him off, you can't contact him in any way.
Yes, you just need to jump him in the corridor, hold him down, get out your sewing kit, cut the back end off a horse, and then sew that to him. And Dobby's like, ah, the classic interpretation of tailing an enemy.
And then we'll send him to the forest where he can live with the other centaurs.
Yeah.
Yes, so he gives Creature airtight instructions and sends the house elves off to tail Malfoy to find out where he's been going.
Also, we didn't mention, but Dobby fucking knocks out Creature's teeth at one point.
Yeah!
That was so intense.
Yeah, he punches him so hard and knocked half of his teeth out. Jesus Christ.
But Creature just might have really fucking bad teeth that were like so loose.
I mean, I'm sure he does, yeah. But how has no one punched him up until now?
That's so true. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe they're not real teeth. Maybe they're dentures.
Creature will have to get new ones now.
It's okay. Creature's used to living without his dentures. Sirius liked to call me his gummy friend. The only time Sirius was nice to Creature.
It's how I developed my fondness for smegma.
It tastes better when it's from Azkaban.
It's all spooky.
Anyway, chapter 20, Lord Voldemort's request.
Fucking yeah, mate. No, that was Scouse. That was all right.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, relative to most of your acting attempts. Yes.
Hermione tells Harry that Ginny argued with Dean.
Oh, yes, and they make their way into a deserted corridor with only a little first-year girl standing there holding a pair of scales.
Yes.
Who's so shocked.
And Harry's like, but what about all these cakes?
What?
I'm just making my deserted joke again.
Oh.
What about this victorious sponge?
What about this carrot cake?
What about this spotted dick? And Harry's like, Ron, I didn't know you had dragon bogs.
Has Eloise Midgen got a brother?
And is his name Richard? Yeah, and the girl squeals and drops her pair of scales.
In shock at seeing these big, scary sixth years, and Hermione comes up and is like, oh, it's all right, repairs the scales and sends her wandering off.
Yeah.
And nobody thinks anything more of it.
Well, why would you, though, really?
I know, I didn't. I didn't even write it down when it happened. It was only later on when that became actually relevant that I was like, oh, shit, I better go back and write down that that happened so I can mention it.
So, yeah, Harry tries to sound casual about his interest in Ginny.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, so are Dinny and Jean fighting?
Yeah.
Wait, did I say Dinny and Jean?
Yeah, that's the lesbian couple, remember? Yeah, they just can't see eye to eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dean's like, I just don't understand you rural folk. And Ginny's like, I feel like you're using that as like a code word for something, Dean. Then he's like what? And she's like, what's your favourite Michael Jackson song? And he's like, oh, you know that one that goes, are you thinking of being my baby? It don't matter if you're black or rural. Yeah. But yeah, Hermione's getting the little suspicion that Harry...
wants to dust off Ginny's taps.
Yeah, Harry wants to spray his WD-40 on that rusted bit of copper.
Yeah, ease up those hinges.
Also, can I just say, WD-40 is a fucking amazing product. Like, I had a door that was squeaked so badly, and you could, like, if you opened it and then just let it, like, and then let go of it, it would just stay put in whatever, like, position you left it open in. I sprayed, like, a tiny bit of WD-40 on the hinges, and the squeak completely stopped, and the door just, like, swung, like, back and forth like it was brand new. And I was like, fucking hell, it's amazing.
So use promo code poorlyread on WD40.com.
Yeah, promo code Molly's gravy.
Imagine if we were sponsored by WD-40.
I mean, I would love how fucking nonsensical it was.
Yeah, me too. I hope that when we do start getting sponsors, they make no sense whatsoever.
Oh my God, I'd love that so much.
But we have to do like sincere plugs for them.
Yeah.
So I had this door.
Oh, that, we just try and like slot it in. Like, I like that story.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, do you know what, Tom? Like, you know, like I wore out my old like riding boots and I thought, oh, I need a new pair of riding boots. Do you know what, Tom? I went to www.ridingboots.com. And you never guess what they had, Tom. Anyway, Luna appears.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She gives Harry another Dumbledore lesson summons.
Yeah. And also puts some cat litter in Ron's hand.
Yeah. Just because she knows he likes it.
Yeah. I like it when felines shit on you, Ron. I like it when pussies get goopy on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he's like, ah, yeah. I mean, it's a bit of like an elaborate metaphor, but...
Yeah. So that's what you...
I mean, if this is your way, you're telling me that you like me.
And they see Lavender.
Yeah.
She comes down the corridor and starts having a go at Ron for not telling her he was getting out of the hospital and for generally just ignoring her.
She's such... I can't stand her.
Yeah, but I mean, Ron's not handling it very well, is he?
Yeah, Ron's been a total dick too.
Yeah.
I mean, Ron deserves it, really.
He does.
Alas.
I mean, you don't know how to do a relationship at that age, do you? I didn't.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, and I guess, like, he doesn't... I mean, he can barely talk to fucking Hermione, and he's, like, in love with her, so...
Yeah.
You know. Alas.
Alas. Adolescence and their hormones.
Yes.
They should just stop fucking about and just get stuck in. It's my diagnosis.
Yeah, that's the new range of Paula Reid condoms coming shortly. Get stuck in.
Stop fucking about.
Get stuck in. I guess, no, really, that would be like a really like confusing message.
Yeah, don't bother with these things. Just fucking get on with it.
Yeah. Start fucking about, but stop fucking about. Oh, God. Poorly condoms, they don't do shit.
Yeah. 30% success rate.
Yeah, more porous than fucking Eloise Midgen. So they go for lunch, and Hermione's, well, fucking pleased that Ron and Lavender are bickering.
Yeah. And then I haven't got any notes about what they else they did at lunch, so moving on to Dumbledore's lesson.
They ate, don't know, what's nice lunch food? Dairy Lunchables, pizza and chips.
Yeah, except it's going to be like pie and potatoes, isn't it?
Because that's
Hogwarts.
What they fucking eat, it's just pie and potatoes.
Like chicken drumsticks and...
turkey Twizzlers.
Yeah. Jamie Oliver went have a fucking meltdown.
Oh, it's weird that, like... Oh, can't be bothered to go down this rabbit hole. No, fuck it. Said the fox.
As he jumped over the lazy dog.
I wonder who the fuck invented that.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Probably a wanker.
It's just a nice, fun sentence that contains all the letters of the alphabet.
Yeah, I bet there must be a better one, though. Maybe that should be like a poorly challenge. We need to invent a new one.
Ooh, okay. I like that. But it's going to take us so long to check each sentence for every letter of the alphabet.
Yeah, we would have to...
It's a text-based thing. It's going to have to be a written... Be so much easier as a written thing.
Okay, so me and Tom went away and tried to do each of our own versions of the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. Oh, God. All right, Tom.
Oh, God. All right. So mine is, Victor can definitely jam a whole zucchini, kumquat and grapes up his box.
Oh, my God. Okay, mine is, Barnabas eats very bizarre sex cakes on Penelope's dirty jelly quim for fun at night. Oh, God.
Nice. I think mine's more concise, but yeah. yours paints a better picture.
Oh, my God. Fucking hell. What a challenge.
That was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
I can't even remember where we fucking were.
No.
Hermione finishes their essays.
Yeah.
Hermione finishes their arseholes.
I was trying to think, we brought a fox up for some reason.
Yeah, I can't remember why we fucking did that.
No.
Oh, it's because I said something about rabbits, I think.
And oh, you couldn't be bothered to go down that rabbit hole, said the fox.
That's it, yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm glad we're not easily distracted. That would make doing this podcast a nightmare.
Oh, God. So Harry goes to Dumbledore's office for his lesson.
Yes, and Trelawney is there.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, so this is why I'm to be unceremoniously thrown from your office, is it?
Yes, the little boy with the lightning-shaped scar. And I was like, yes. How did you see through the door? And Trelawney's like, ah, my third eye. She hoists up her skirt.
She's got like a swivelly blue moody eye.
No, no, she's stuck like a little like a googly eye on her clear. And he's like, oh, Trelawney, is this what has come of you? I bring a horse in and you put googly eyes everywhere.
Well, what do you expect me to do, Albus?
How was I supposed to get your attention? Oh, God. I used to love when you used to feed your beard inside me, then whip it out very fast. The most extreme climax I've ever had.
I'd be picking hairs out for days.
It was like pulling a cork out of a barrel.
Yeah, she wants Firenze gone, basically.
Yes.
And Dumbledore's like, after she leaves, she's like, well, I can't let Firenze go.
Now he knows all my secrets.
Now he knows all my secrets, yeah. Now he's an outcast in the forest, and Sybil doesn't know what danger she'd be in if she left. She, after all, is the one who made the original prophecy about you and Voldemort, but I think it's best that she doesn't know that.
Yes, let's save it for when she's at her most vulnerable.
Yes, and then surprise her with it.
Yes. Actually, let's take her all the way to Voldemort's house, press the doorbell, and then give her an envelope, and tell her to give that to Voldemort. And then Voldemort will take it off of her, and then read it out aloud, and then she'll find out at the same time that he does, and then we'll film it all and see what happens. Harry's like, that sounds fucking amazing.
We'll make a great Instagram story.
No, TikTok, Harry.
Yeah, Dumbledore's like, all right, Grandad.
Oh, that reminds me. Boop, 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 boop. Ah, Firenze, yes. How would you like a trip to the glue factory? Got a lovely friend who can give us a guided tour. It's a very hands-on experience.
You get to go through the machines yourself.
Yes, bring all my secrets with you. Oh, I know, yeah, but Dumbledore's like, so, have you got the memory yet? And Harry's like,
Been having some stuff going on, mate, and I?
Yeah, like, my friend almost died, and then, you know, I found out I got chlamydia, and obviously I can't concentrate when my pee is burning, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, so then I had to, like, go around all the girls in the Gryffindor common room that I've had my way with and inform them that I have had my way with them and then tell them that they might have chlamydia.
Also, my mum and dad died, so...
I was like, you can't keep playing that card, Harry. You don't even remember.
And then there's like a really awful silence.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to. I'll try harder next time.
I'll do better, baby.
Yeah.
I ain't never gonna hurt you again.
I'm gonna do right by you this time. And Dumbledore's like, thank you, Harry, I appreciate that. I always wanted to hear that from a boy. Here, put on this mask of Grindelwald.
Made from his real skin.
He said he was happy for me to take it before he died. I mean, at least that's what I think he said. It was a bit hard to hear.
Which somewhat ruined it for me, but I took it anyway.
Yes, I just sat on his chest, got out my Swiss Army knife and went pick, 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 and off came his face. And I took his nutsack just for luck.
His lucksack, I call it.
Yeah, and then Dumbledore was like, I appreciate that. Because after tonight, there won't be much point in us meeting again if we don't have the memory.
Yeah, Dumbledore shames Harry for not giving Slughorn's memory his full attention.
That's what they call his penis.
What, Slughorn's memory?
Yes. How hard did you try to get his memory, Harry?
Tell me slowly.
Tell me, Harry, was his memory ghostly wide? Did it produce that strange vapour I showed you in his old memory? I was like, yeah, I mean, it's more viscous than I was expecting. And kind of made my teeth hurt.
Yeah, yeah. It was slightly tough to chew through.
That's what crystallized pineapple will do to you.
Tasted super sweet, though.
Imagine if, like, maybe there is a thing, but you could take, like, a pill that made it taste like different flavors.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Because I'm always using it for seasoning, and I'm always like... Oh. Could just use a little something, something. Oh, Dumbledore says that any further evidence of Voldemort's life has been almost impossible to get. There's a couple of people who have memories of him as a child, but there's been no one who's been willing to share memories of Tom Riddle the man.
Yes.
But he has two more memories to show Harry. People expected big things from Tom Riddle. There was talk of him going to join the ministry. He even asked Headmaster Dippet if he could stay on as a teacher, but was told no, he was too young. I'd come back in a few years, and he ended up working at Borgin and Burke's.
Yes.
And it was his job to go out and persuade people to part with their treasures and precious magical items for the shop.
Yeah.
And he was very good at it.
Yes, so here is a memory, Harry, from a house elf called Hoki.
Yes.
She used to like to dance. She used to like to get everyone in a circle, and you'd rush in, and then you'd rush out. And then you'd rush in, and then you'd rush out. And then you turn around.
And that, Harry, was what it was all about.
But yes, she worked for Bubbles DeVere. I mean, Hepzibah Smith. do you remember Bubbles? From Little Britain.
Oh, from Little Britain, yeah.
That is constantly who I was picturing this entire time.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
She just lets her towel drop. Yeah. She's got that massive bush.
Would you like some Ferrero Rocher, Tom? So, yeah, we go swishy, swishy, swishy into the pensive. And we see a house elf tying a pink, sort of like a ballerina slipper onto a little chubby leg.
Yeah. And then knock, knock, knock. The one and only Tom Riddle arrives in a black suit. And he's brought her some flowers.
Yes. He's brought her some daisies and a dandelion.
Yeah, and the dandelion comes in like, well, hey!
Fuckering fuckadash! She's like, oh, Tom! You've managed to arouse my pussy again. Tom's like, yes, I'm very good at entertaining cats. And she fucking loves it.
Yeah, he's very sort of dry. Saucy. And like menacing, isn't he?
I mean, I didn't think so.
No?
I just thought he was thrilling and...
Well, I mean, he's quietly menacing in that, almost like in a dramatic irony sort of way, because Hepzibah Smith doesn't know that he is what he is, you know?
I think there's only menacing because we know what he went on to do. I think he's...
Yeah.
He just seems quite... I think he just seems like entirely charming and suave.
But yeah, he says, Mr. Burke would like to make an improved offer for the goblin-made armour of 500 galleons. But she's not really interested in talking about that. And she's just like, oh, I want to show you my finest treasures. Not to sell them, just because I know you'll appreciate their history.
Yes. Also, you can't separate this one from the host. And she goes, Hoki! Hoki comes over with like a pair of guards and shears and just cuts through like her negligee. And she's like, do you like the look of my jam croissant, Tom?
Says, your jam croissant is delightful, Mrs. Smith.
Yes, it's the finest preserve.
And Harry was sure he could see Riddle's eyes flash red.
Would you like a taste of my lady marmalade? And he's like, I don't know, have you got a spoon? She's like, of course.
You must dip your finger in. So she brings down a small golden cup.
She's like, yes, let me show you what me and Hoki can do. And Tom's like, wow, if only there's a way of recording this and somehow distributing it far and wide.
Yes, I feel like this could become an infamous viral video.
Yeah. Oh, God. No, and it's a Hufflepuff's cup.
Yeah, you can't do that to Helga Hufflepuff's cup. It's just sacrilege.
No, not her moon cup.
That's not for those kinds of fluids.
It's not for those memories. And then she's like, yes, I'm a descendant of Helga. That's why my name begins with H.
It was like, ah, oh, of course.
We're all called H. My mother was called Hummus. Her mother before her was called... I don't know if you've heard of this name before.
Haribo.
And her mother was called Heliothorpe. The most famous one of all. Oh, Auntie Hindman died in childbirth. Oh, yes, and...
Great Aunt Hula Hoop. Was always going round in circles.
Oh, and Great Auntie Ham and Pineapple was the greatest pizza maker this side of the...
She emigrated to Hawaii.
Hawaii was the name of her aunt before her. Oh, and Auntie Hunch was always very suspicious, you see.
So she's like, I think you'll like this one even more. And I bought this from Mr. Burke himself for a fortune. He got it off some ragged old woman who looked like she was a street urchin and stole it. And it's the heavy locket.
Yeah, with the big S on it.
Yes. And Harry definitely sees Riddle's eyes, like, gleam red. And he thinks that Hepzibah Smith also sort of saw it, but she sort of dismisses it.
Yeah, that unsettled me a little bit.
Mm. See, that's what I mean by menacing.
Oh, yeah, those bits are.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, it must have been a trick of the light.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. And then they zoom out of the memory, and Dumbledore's like, Hepzibah died 2 days after that.
Yeah, Hepzibah Smith died 2 days later. Hokey was found out that Hokey accidentally poisoned her, which she obviously didn't. That was a memory implanted by Voldemort. And by the time anyone had noticed that the cup and the locket were missing, Tom had left his post at Borgin & Burke's and vanished.
Where do you think he went? Do you think he went to Albania?
I think he went to go and just get real Voldemort-y.
Yeah, but like where? Like where did he stay?
Don't know.
Maybe he even went to go and stay back at the Gaunt house, you know? I mean, it is his, technically, I guess. And the Riddle house, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, he was making Horcruxes, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, because the next memory Dumbledore shows them is 10 years after that.
And he's already starting to show, like the way he's sort of falling apart and... Not falling apart, yes. But becoming a little more sort of deformed.
He already looks like he's about to be unplugged from the Matrix.
Yeah.
And but he's not. He's got slitty nose, but he's not got the snake eyes yet.
Yeah, but they're kind of permanently bloodshot. 10 years later, young Dumbledore is in his office, and there's a knock on the door, and unmistakably Voldemort walks in, pale face and bloody eyed,
and slithering across the floor like a snake.
Yes. And this.
Like, oh. Sorry, go on. Sorry, the joke wasn't going to be that good.
I was just going to say, I forgot this scene existed entirely. Because it's been, like I said, at the start of this book, it's been so long since I read it.
Yeah.
And this scene it was completely new to me. And this might be one of my favourite scenes, I think.
Same. I really like it too. I like the ending.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because, like...
So let's not joke about it. Let's treat it with due reverence and tell it exactly how it happened.
Yes, let's do very serious role play. So I'll be Dumbledore's foreskin and you'd be Voldemort's foreskin. And we'll go and talk to each other like that.
But I want a job.
You already have one, keeping the smegma in. And he's like, "Ah, oh, Dumbledore, why are you so obsessed with this?" Oh, God, I just love the fridges so much. So Harry's like, he could tell that Voldemort had an appointment because Dumbledore wasn't shocked that he arrived.
Yeah, he steps down. I heard you have become headmaster, a worthy choice. And he's
Yes, you always gave the best blowjobs.
Wordplay.
And Dumbledore's like, yeah, I fucking love teaching.
Yes. And he says, now, Tom, what can I do for you? And he says, they don't call me Tom anymore. They call me, and Dumbledore's like, I know what they call you, but I'm afraid...
I don't honour transgender rights, so I would not be calling you Charlotte. It's like, oh, but Dumbledore is the 80s. Well, I guess it's the 70s now, isn't it?
No, it's like the 40s. No,
it's
wait.
It's not.
It's because it's... So, okay, so it's the 50s then? Because it's 10 years since Voldemort left school. Actually, no, it's 10 years since that memory in Borgin and Burks. But that would have only been a couple of years after he left school. So it was maybe like 12 years after he left school.
Yeah, I reckon it's easier for 70s then.
Well, so he worked at Borgin and Burks for 20 years?
No, because if he left school in the 50s... Then that's only, you know, like, say, like, the late 50s, then that might only be only, like, 12 years.
No, well, it wasn't the late 50s, because it was 50 years ago in 1992 when Voldemort opened the Chamber of Secrets, which is 1942. So if he left Hogwarts, like, what, a year or two after that, so 1944, let's say, so then he would have worked at Borgin and Burks for a couple of years till, like, the mid to late 40s, and then 10 years after that, mid to late 50s.
But if the whole Grindelwald thing was happening in, like, that period, that seems weird, because I always got the impression that all the Voldemort stuff happened after Grindelwald had already... That had all been over.
Well, I don't know the time frame for the Grindelwald stuff.
Oh, well, Grindelwald was defeated in 1945. Actually, there's a meme going round... I'll try and find... There's a meme going around at the moment comparing Jude Law and Thingamabob, and it says what years they're supposed to be, and it's... Jude Law in the last film and then Dumbledore in the orphanage scene.
Yeah, well, the Jude Law in the last film, that's in the 20-something, I think, isn't it?
I don't know, Jude Law.
I think someone sent us it on Instagram.
Yeah, they might have, actually. I don't know if we still have it, though. Yeah, okay, so the orphanage... So the Chamber of Secrets is meant to be opened in 1943.
I was pretty close then.
Yeah, that just seems so bizarre. So that means that Dumbledore defeated Grindelwald probably just after Voldemort had left school.
Yeah.
So yeah, this meeting there must be in like...
Mid-50s. Mid to late 50s.
So then it was another like 30 years before he came back as Voldemort. That seems... What was he doing in 30 fucking years?
Building an army?
Yeah, it doesn't take you that long to do that. Especially if it was already...
I mean, it does from scratch.
No, but he'd already done quite a lot by this point, and he'd already made a few Horcruxes.
Yeah.
So why would you wait 30 years? Just makes no sense.
Well, I imagine he sort of came to power quite gradually. It wasn't like he suddenly did a big reveal.
Well, I think so. Let's say it was 20 years in before he was big, and then 10 years of him being
like
a menace.
At large.
Sorry?
10 years sort of with him at large kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That culminated in 1980. Or 1981,
I think it's 81. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems weird for 20 years, especially considering he went from that to this in 10 years. To take another 20 seems too long, alas.
Anyway, there's a lot of pondering we'll probably cut.
Yeah, I bet we don't keep any of that. Voldemort's like, I want the Jar Jar job.
Yes, and Dumbledore's like, sorry.
Dick anal job.
Yes, the double anal, double anal.
Yeah, double anal, double anal. Yes, because it's double anal, you have to say it twice, you see. And Dumbledore's like, yes, I know.
I know how it works, Tom.
Yes, I've been teaching it for 50 years. A lesson in the morning and then a lesson at night. Dumbledore's like, look, I've heard rumours of what you've been up to, right? And Voldemort's like, I've been experimenting, I've pushed the envelope.
Well, have I been a naughty boy? Yes, I've pushed the boundaries of magic, and Dumbledore's like, of some magic, yes. I hope that some of what I've heard is not true. And then Dumbledore says, what of your friends then, the so-called Death Eaters? And yes, we see Voldemort look a little bit slightly alarmed for a second that Dumbledore... knows that term. He's like, why are you really here, Tom? We both know you don't really want to teach. What of the people who you will who will be taught by you? What will what's your end game here? Like, you must have known that I'm not going to give you this job. I know you don't really want it. What's the real deal? Oh yeah, before that, Dumbledore has named some of the people who have come here with him and who are waiting in the Hogshead. And
oh, did
like,
he?
Yeah. It's like Mulsifer, McNair and all that. What were they? It just seems an odd to bring such an entourage with you just for a teaching job. I thought that his friends are. They seem more in the order of servants. And Dumbledore's like, you're omniscient as always, Dumbledore.
He's like, no, I'm just related to the shit man pub landlord.
You know, the goat fucker.
If he ever offers you a salad, Tom, don't take it.
The feta is not feta.
I mean, like, it is feta, but it's not feta in the way that you like it. Look, it's feta and sperm, okay?
Do I need to spell it out?
Yeah, we call it spafeta.
We're still workshopping
that. Or we're thinking about going with therm, but you have to say with, like, a special kind of accent, you know? Like, therm. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I can see I've wasted my time here.
No, wait, taste some. And so he's like, look, if you don't want to give me their job, and then Dumbledore's like, of course I don't want to fucking give you the job.
Yeah, then we have nothing more to say.
Yeah.
No, I cannot threaten you with burning a wardrobe and making you repent for your crimes, although I wish that I could.
Yes. And then Voldy leaves, the memory ends. And why did he come back? And Dumbledore's like, I'll tell you when you're older. No, he's like, I'll tell you when you get the memory.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, was he after the Dada job? And Dumbledore's like, yes, I said it at least five times, Harry.
Yeah, and he says, yes, he made it quite clear that that was the job he was after, because since refusing the job to Lord Voldemort, we haven't been able to keep a Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher for more than a year since. That was 40 years. They've been through 40 different Defense Against the Dark Arts teachers. Fuck off. I'm not having that. That's bollocks. Sorry. You would change what the subject's called. You would remove that subject from the syllabus and start a new subject where similar things are being taught called something different. You would find a workaround. You wouldn't just deal with having to get a new teacher every year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is exactly what would happen.
Yeah. Good. So I didn't mean to fly off the handle there. I just get so worked up about inefficient workplace practices.
Oh, God. Chapter 21, The Unknowable Broom.
Yeah, and I'm a bit like, not a lot seems to fucking happen in this chapter. I mean, let's see, Harry walks around outside the room of requirement a lot.
Yeah, he sees nothing, and then Dobby's like, look, Malfoy's been a bad boy.
Yeah, and Creature's like, oh, I'd much rather be sucking off Mr. Malfoy than you, Potter.
Yes, his sperm tastes green. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense, I guess.
Whereas you can tell you've been fraternizing with gingers and mudbloods.
But it's okay, Master Malfoy enjoys my gummy delights. And Harry comes to the realization that the random girl is Malfoy. Sorry, I put an unexpected R in that word.
Just came out of nowhere. I didn't see it coming.
It's actually Crabbe and Goyle.
Yeah.
With apologies potion.
Yeah. So Dobby tells him he's using the Room of Requirement. And how does he? I forget what the revelation of Polyjuice Potion comes from. Does he just think of it?
Oh, because he's like, of course, because there was a vat of it in our first potions lesson.
Yeah, but why does he realize it in that moment? Is there something else, or does it just sort of happen? Oh, no, that's it. They say there's an array of different students from different years who have been keeping watch. And he's like, a variety of different students. Variety of students. The Marauder's Map says it's only ever Crabbe and Goyle. And he's like, oh, it's a big fucking vat of Polyjuice Potion. He's been nicking it and having them turn into little fucking first year girls and stand around looking all innocent.
So the next day he plans to spend his free period trying to get into the Room of Requirement.
Yeah, and Hermione's all wagging her finger.
Yeah, she's like, huff, huff. And he's like, full puff. She's like, no. I'm sorry, I'm losing the plot.
I'm having a much better time now I've got the fan on.
Yeah, my fan's on too. My mood has not changed. Harry tries to get into the Room of Requirement and he can't.
Yeah, he thinks like, I need to see the place that Malfoy keeps secretly coming. I need you to become the place you become for Draco Malfoy. And it's sort of just, there's just the wall there. It doesn't turn into a door. So then Harry goes to Defense Against the Dark Arts late and Snape takes 10 points from Gryffindor.
And then Seamus is like, ah, oh, Snape, what's the difference between a Gorse and an Inferius? And then Snape asks like,
maybe the late one can inform us what the difference is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty dumb question, really.
I mean, yeah. I mean, because Harry's like, well, ghosts are see-through, and Snape's like,
obviously.
Yeah. And then Harry's like, yeah, well, infra-I would be solid. And Snape's like, well, like, an infra-I, that's like a standard answer. Basically, an infra-I is like a dead puppet, and a ghost is a departed imprint of a soul. And Ron's like, yeah, well, what Harry says is more useful. And Snape's like, fuck off.
Yeah. Quick summation of that scene there. Yeah, Snape's Ron sort of stands up for Harry. Snape is shitty about Ron's apparition because their like test dates are coming up or something.
Basically, yeah, because Ron's like, look, we're not going to be asking them questions. We're going to be seeing if the thing we're looking at is solid or not.
Yeah.
And then Snape's like, how appropriate that, no, I expected nothing less from a boy so solid he can't apparate 10 feet across the room. And Ron's like, what did you call me? He's like, I called you so solid. And Ron's like, oh, yeah, boy.
It's like, I'm warning you, Snape, I've got 21 seconds. And I'm going.
And Snape's like,
what? 21 seconds? 21 seconds?
That's it, Romeo done.
I got 21 seconds to pass the mic, got 21 seconds to say all I gotta say.
Oh, God.
Ha ha, what you laughing at?
Oh, do you remember that? Oh, God, sorry. Yeah, they go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and they see Moaning Myrtle in there, and she's all like, oh, I thought you were him. He comes to talk to me, and they're all like, Myrtle, this is a boy's bathroom. But yeah, she says she's been seeing a boy in there who's very sensitive, and he cries with her and stuff like that. I can't remember what the deal is with that. Is it Malfoy?
Yeah, Malfoy's been crying. That's it. He says that, hold on, yeah, he feels lonely, and people keep on bullying him, and he's been crying. Oh, fuck it. So Harry's outside the Room of Requirement and he's in his cloak. And then he goes up to what could be Crabbe or Goyle and whispers in the little girl's ear, yeah, you're a very pretty girl. Have some moon juice. And then whatever.
Yeah, he sneaks up behind her, just slips his finger in. Oh, she goes, ooh! These ghosts. And Harry's like, yeah, that's the stuff.
She's like, ah, oh, that's what ghosting is. And Harry's like, I'm sure that helps you sleep better at night.
Yeah, that's what you mean when you say you ghosted a chick.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm always getting ghosted. And everyone's like, oh. And she's like, no, it's great. And I get ghosted in the morning, get ghosted in the evening, get ghosted all over this land. I ghost out danger.
You can see a little trail of puddles.
Yeah. And then the girl runs and Harry lets his cloak slip off and
yeah, he has another
him.
Crack at the Room of Requirement and he gets angry and kicks the wall and his cloak slips off and yeah, and then Tonks is there and she's all like, oh, all right, Harry, I just come up here to see Dumbledore.
What the fuck?
It's my Tonks voice.
Oh my god, fucking hell. I think that's like Tonks' mum's voice, I feel. Oh my god. Anyway, and then she's like, yeah, I'll come to see Dumbledore, but he's not here again. And Harry's like, oh, okay.
Bye.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, and the others have been down in the village having their apparition extra lesson with Wilkie Twycross with Twix and Kit Kat.
With Twix and Kit Kat, yeah.
He was well impressed with Hermione's apparition.
Yep.
Gave her a Kit Kat chunky.
If you know what I mean.
Anyway, Harry's like, do you know what? Do you think Tonks is in love with Sirius?
Because their Patronus is different now, and it's a big four-legged thing, so maybe it's become him.
Yeah, everyone's like, I mean, maybe. I mean, she does seem like she's lost her nerve recently. I mean, women, they're so easily upset. And Hermione goes, and yet I doubt you'd find a woman who would sulk for half an hour because Madame Rosmerta didn't laugh at their joke about the hag, the healer, and the Mimbulus Mimbletonia. Ron scowls.
The end.
Well, isn't that grand? I'm so glad you stayed with us on this fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, we barely stayed with us till the end.
Yeah, on this unicycle, on this tandem bicycle ride through southern parts of Iran. and we're so happy that you're going to come back next week for more thrilling tales from Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Tom, should we give them a sneak peek of what might be coming up on our Patreon?
Yeah.
Yeah, so here is a sneak peek from our exclusive Patreon series, Poorly Read at the Movies. This is Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, and that Enchantress is obviously a massive gun.
Yeah, that Enchantress is a huge fucking trolley wallop. A literal child, a 10-year-old boy. You dismissed me for being ugly, child, therefore you will turn into a monster.
Yeah. Also, who told you that I needed a lesson taught to me? You came all this way. What if I'd said yes, come and stay?
Yeah, you'd have been fucked then, wouldn't you?
Well, maybe he literally would have been fucked, because she still would have turned into the Enchantress, and she was like, you passed my test, let's make love. And he's like, wow, this is the best 10th birthday present ever.
Thanks, Mrs. Potts.
Mrs. Potts is like, yes, sure, I tried to find the Enchantress with the smallest vagina I could, and here she is. You'll be the perfect fit.
I plotted them all on a graph.
Fucking hell. Wasn't that the best thing you've ever heard, Tom?
I don't know. I can't remember what clip it's going to be.
I'm sure it was funny. If not, then fuck me sideways and call me Sally. Anyway, so yeah, join up to that. www.patreon.com/poorlyread. It's $3.99 a month. You get 2 exclusive episodes a month of Poorly Read at the Movies.
Yes.
Check out our merchandise page on Redbubble. We've got some awesome designs. You can buy the designs on a ton of merch. I personally am quite partial to the reusable coffee mug thing. I think it looks really awesome.
Like a keep cup?
Yeah, like that. They look really awesome with our designs on. So buy one of those, or a t-shirt, or buy everything.
Buy all of the stuff.
Yeah. Oh, God. Check us out on our socials, on Instagram, at PoorlyReadPod. Email us your tings at poorlyread@gmail.com. And give us 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts app. It's what we've always wanted. It makes us happy. It makes us hard. It makes us Violet Beauregard. Oh God. Without further apu, Ivan Gifton.
I'm in Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid Smigma.